Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
It's how am I receiving? Generosity, how am I giving? And they both go together. You'll find in life that generous people tend to be very grateful people. Grateful people tend to be generous. Stewardship is how I want to close this message. How am I managing what the Lord is putting in my life? How am I managing what the Lord has placed in my life? And before this service is over, I'm going to give you three things that I really believe we can put into practice when it comes to being stewards or managers. And I want to say this again. I said it before the prayer, and I want to say it again. The moment a thing enters our life, the moment something enters into our life, we become a steward of that information. We become a manager of that information. And so whether it's a teacher that's just given you knowledge and now that's in your hands, or whether it's a coach that is just giving you some insight to the game, whenever you receive a thing, information, counsel, advice, knowledge, information, once you receive something in your life, no matter where, what it is, tangible and intangible, at that very moment that something enters your life, you become the manager of what you've been given. So it's out of the distributor's hands because you're now the manager of it. In other words, no matter how powerful and wise our God is, the moment he imparts unto us his wisdom and knowledge of his words, we become the manager of his word. We become the manager of that understanding. We become the manager of that truth. What do we do with it? The moment that an individual puts something in our life, how do we manage what we've just been given? And I believe that gratitude should be the entrance to all that we receive. In other words, the moment someone has sown something in my life, the moment that I receive anything of the Lord that's tangible, physical, intangible, that knowledge, that counsel, that advice, it's not tangible, but it's vital and it's important. Gratitude is the way I receive it. And when we learn to receive right, we can learn to give right. And I don't believe we'll ever be the types of givers that God has called us to be until we learn how to receive. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says that as God gives us opportunity, we should be generous to those that he has put before us. God is going to give us opportunity to show generosity, and I don't believe we're ever going to do that until we learn how to receive, right? And that's what this series has been about, learning how to receive, learning how to give. And ultimately, we have to see that biblically, God has made us managers, that we're all stewards. So I want to go back to this verse we read before the prayer in Luke 16, where Jesus gives this story of a certain rich man, verse 1, which had a steward. What is a steward? A steward is an overseer. A steward is a manager. And what I'm hoping you'll see in this story that Jesus is going to give is that you have two main characters. You have the owner, the Lord, and you have his steward. And in this story, Jesus is Lord, he's the owner, and we are the managers or we are the stewards. Now, many of us have named Jesus Lord and called him Lord without maybe having the full conviction of what it means when you say Jesus is Lord of my life. The word Lord means owner. The word Lord means owner. Like you would pay rent money to the landlord. Well, what is a landlord? The landlord is the landowner. And so if Jesus is Lord of my life, he is owner of my life. Therefore, I view all that comes into my life as belonging to the Lord, but placed under my stewardship, placed under my management. That my children belong to the Lord, but he has given them to me to manage. He's given our four children to Chrissy and I to manage and to educate and to teach and to place the fear of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord and the word of the Lord in. We raise our children, but they belong to the Lord. We're just overseers. We're just managers. And it's the same is true no matter what it is that's placed in our life, that if we would look at the world and view our lives through the lens of Scripture, we wouldn't see anything in our life as belonging to ourselves, but that we have been given management of this thing, and how I steward it determines where I go in life. That whether I go far in life or I don't go far at all in life, it's based on what I did with what I was given. And what Jesus is saying here in Luke 16:10 is that you can't wait for the much to show yourself faithful. You can't wait till the much to show yourself grateful, but you begin where you are. You show yourself faithful over little, and then God will make you ruler over much, because ever how you treat the little, Jesus is saying here in Luke 16:10, how you treat the little is going to determine how you would treat the much. Therefore, God could test us with the little just to see if we could pass the test to enter into the much. And so I feel like stewardship and managing what the owner Jesus puts in my life is a liberating principle, because no matter what comes in my life, it's not mine. It's just mine to manage. And how I manage it is going to determine where I go. Does that make sense? Now, to help really understand this, let's go. Well, let me show you something here again, then we're going to turn to another scripture. Notice that the steward was called in verse 1 because he was wasteful. He had wasted his goods. He had wasted his goods. Now, last week we talked about the table and the importance of fellowship and the importance of communion and how God ordained the table to be a place where we learn gratitude and generosity. And for most of us, you know, coming up in life, that's where you gave thanks, is when you sat around the table and before you took a bite of food, you gave thanks. It was there you learned to give God gratitude and be thankful for what you received. And it was also at the table that we learned to be generous, where we invite people over and share our bounty and share our abundance and be giving toward others. But there are many of us that are guilty of what we talked about last week and eating in the back seat of the car, and we've got ketchup on our steering wheels because we're eating our meal driving down the road and we're not gathering together as a family like we should. Why? You might say, well, it's because we don't have time. And it's probably because we've been too wasteful of time. The point I'm going to show you in the Word today is that no matter what it is, no matter whether it's your time, talent, or your treasure, how you manage, how we manage the time, the energy, the materials, the resources that we are given is going to determine where we go in life. And so when Jesus called in the steward here in Luke 16, he called him in because he had wasted his goods. And church, you can waste more than just goods. We can waste more than just money. We can waste something that we never get back, and that is time. Time may be the most important. Time is the most important asset that we have is time. And we've got to learn to be better stewards of our time and being thankful for the time that we've been given. Be thankful for what God has put in our life. And I'm going to explain that a little further here in a moment. But I want to talk real quick about this word wasted, because he had wasted his goods. How can I prevent myself from being wasteful? I'm going to give you two words. These two words will help you from prevent, you know, yourself from being wasteful. Number one, be efficient. Efficient. Efficient people are not wasteful. Efficient people are not wasteful. And here's what the word means, efficient. It means capable of producing desired results without wasting materials, time, or energy. One more time, efficient. Capable of producing desired results without wasting materials, time, or energy. And that's according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. So I'm not wasteful. Why? Because I'm efficient. I don't waste materials. I don't waste time. I don't waste energy. Here's the second thing that we can do to prevent ourselves from being wasteful, and that is be effective. To be effective. The word effective means I produce the result that is wanted. I have the intended effect. God has called us as his stewards to be both efficient and effective. And I don't believe you can be one and not be the other. Now, let's turn back to the Gospel of Matthew. I want to go to the 21st chapter, Matthew chapter 21. So let's just get this established from the beginning. Jesus is Lord. He's owner. I've given him my life. Everything in my life is under his submission. I'm the steward. I'm the manager. As the steward and as the manager, I am grateful for all that God puts in my life. I seek his wisdom. I seek his will for all that is in my life. I desire to be generous. Lord, how do you want to use me as a conduit? How do you want to use me as a pipeline to pour into other people's lives? How can I take the blessing you've given me and be a blessing to my neighbor and my family and my friends and my coworkers? Lord, how can you use me to the benefit of another? Stewardship. Stewardship. Now, what I'm going to show you here in Matthew 21 is powerful. Because once you view your life through this biblical lens and you say, okay, Jesus, your Lord, nobody really owns anything because we take nothing with us when we die. The scripture says we brought nothing into this world and we take nothing with us when we leave. So whatever we have right now, we're only guaranteed to have in this very moment. I'm a manager in this moment because this thing is in my life to manage in this moment. How would you, Lord, have me to manage this thing in my life? According to what Jesus just taught us in Luke 16:10, if I'm faithful over what he's placed in my life, even if it is little, it will set me up for much. He can put more in my life because I've shown him that I can be faithful over little. But if I let the little excuse me from being grateful, and I let the little say, well, you know, if I had as much as he had, I might be more grateful. Or if I had as much as she had, I might be more generous. If I let my little, when being weighed against someone else's much, cause me to feel entitled or excuse me from being grateful or generous, then I am locked in to being little, to having the least. Jesus said, faithful over little, ruler over much. Unfaithful in little, you would be unfaithful in much. So when you take that principle of Luke 16:10, what God puts in our life really is not based on what we ask for. It's based on what we've proven we can manage, which means the Lord doesn't necessarily give me what I ask for. He gives me what I can manage. So I need to show the Lord, of all that you put in my life, I'm going to be faithful over the little because I want to show you that I can be faithful over what you put in my life. And faithful over little will cause me to be faithful in much. So the Lord fills my life with what I've proven that I can manage. Now, there's a liberty in knowing that Jesus is Lord over everything. And that there's nothing he can't put in my life that I'm not willing to prove I can be faithful over, that I can manage. So let me show you this example here in Matthew chapter 21. When you're there, just say amen. We'll start in verse number 1. And, you know, stewardship is a big thing with Jesus. Nearly half of all the parables that Jesus taught deal with stewardship and management. We're going to look at a few of them here. Watch this in Matthew 21. We'll start in verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose and bring unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So Jesus said, I want you to go and retrieve this colt. It's at a certain village. He gives the address, in essence. He says, when you go and get the colt and somebody tries to stop you or someone says otherwise to you, I want you to say back to them that the Lord has need of this colt, and when they hear that, they will send the colt to me. Now, in the language that was spoken, what would have been interpreted is the owner has need of this, because the word Lord means owner. I remember many years ago, I had a lab that was stolen from me, and I put some signs out. Long story short, the guy that stole the lab called me up, and he said, "Hey, I got your dog." And I went to go get his dog, and he wouldn't come outside to talk to me. But my dog was outside tied up on this with this orange extension cord. So, I mean, it's my dog, and I done talked to the guy. He wouldn't come out. So I just grabbed my dog. I loosed my dog, and I put my dog in the back of the truck, and I went home. Now, you might say, "Pastor, you went on somebody's property and got the dog." No, I got my dog. I loosed my dog because I own the dog, and I took the dog back where it belonged. I knew that was mine. I had no problem untying that dog from that orange extension cord. Jesus said, "Go get this coat. It belongs to me. I'm the Lord of this coat. I'm the owner of this coat. And if anybody says otherwise to you, say, 'The Lord hath need of it.'" Here's the principle I want you to get from this. When the Lord wants something in your life, when the Lord wants something in my life, no matter where it may be, he has the power to loose that thing and to put it wherever he wants it. That's the right that he reserves as God of heaven and earth. And when we begin to live under that principle that Jesus is Lord in heaven and earth, and he owns everything and he has complete authority, I don't have to be jealous of what other people have. I don't have to be envious of what somebody else has. I know that the Lord has full power to put in my life whatever he wants in my life. Even if it looks like it's tied up right now in somebody else's life, he can bring it into mind if it be his will. That's the power that he reserves. Amen? Now, let me give you an example of this. Years ago, I used to pass this property that we're on right here. I used to pass it all the time going down to Houston every Wednesday where I did a Bible conference. We had a radio listeners down there, and I would hold this weekly Bible conference. And I passed this property. Now, the more I passed this property, the more I saw us on this property. At the time, we were at LSUS. And so I called the guy that owned the property, and I said, "Hey, I'd like to buy 1 acre. And he says, "Sir, we're only selling 5-acre lots, 5 acres. And I forget the price. And I said, "Well, we're not ready to buy 5 acres right now, but if you'll sell me 1 acre, I promise you we'll buy more, and we'll likely go beyond 5. He said, "No, sir, you got to buy 5 acres. Call me back when you're ready for 5. And we got off the phone. When I called him back, we were ready to buy all of it. They were asking $2.2 million for this property, called and offered him $750,000. He said, "Is the offer serious?" I said, "We're very serious." And he said, "Well, it needs to get to the $1 million mark, or we're not going to be able to pay it any attention." But nonetheless, he came out to see me in person. So it had to mean a little something. Come on, somebody. So the guy came down to our old location. We sat under the table together, and he said, "Listen, you really need to get to at least the million. I don't even want to take this number back to my partnership." He said, "There's 9 partners that own it. All 9 have to agree on the price." He said, "I know one of them is never going to agree to this price." He said, "We're asking $2.2 million, and you're offering $750,000. You need to at least get to $1 million mark." I said, $750,000 is the offer. And I said, "Here's the thing. If that colt, this property, belongs to Word of God, if the Lord wants to use this colt, he will loose it, and we will use it for his glory." He said back, "Yeah," he said, "I hear you." He said, "My son's a preacher, and I get all that." He said, "But God also gives us wisdom." And I said back to that, I said, "Yes, sir, and his wisdom is his word. And he is Lord of heaven and earth. And if he wants Word of God to use that property, then he will lose that property and you guys will sell it. And if he doesn't want Word of God to have that property, he won't lose it. So I'm putting it in his hands." 10 days later, the guy called me back up. I was actually down in Florida. And I took the call, and he said, "All 9 agreed to sell for that price," when he had told me that one of them would never agree. Matter of fact, just a few weeks earlier, they had turned down a higher offer than ours. They turned it down and then took a lower offer to sell to us. Why? Because this colt belonged to the Lord, and the colt wanted Word of God to use it. The point I'm trying to make is that the Lord owns everything. And if I can just be found faithful to be grateful for what he puts in my life, be a faithful manager of what he puts in my life, he can bring more into my life. He reserves that authority as Lord. See how liberating it is to say, "Okay, Jesus, you're Lord. What have you called me to manage? What will you give me to manage? Church, I am here to tell you a spiritual principle based on what we just read in Luke 16:10. If I can't manage what he's put in my life and it is little, I will never walk into the much, because it's not about what I ask for, it's about what I can manage. The Lord is the owner, and he reserves the right to take his assets and put it where it will be managed well. Does that make sense? Now, let's go over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. So, imagine your life like this. View life like this. The very moment something enters my life, this goes beyond materials. This is information, knowledge, understanding, counsel, talent, instruction. The moment something enters my life, I'm now a manager of it. How do I receive it? Biblically, you don't receive anything from anyone, especially God Almighty, without being grateful. So if I stop and ask somebody for a direction, they say, you need to go three streets up and you need to take a left. Thank you. You just gave me information I didn't have. I'm grateful. See, it doesn't matter how big. That'd be big. It's a small thing. I'm walking in the door, both hands are full. You open the door, thank you. Whether it's a stranger or whether it's your mama, thank you. See, gratitude should be the first response to what you've just received. I've just received this. I'm going to show the Lord I'm a faithful manager. I'm not the owner. I was not entitled this. I don't have the right to this. I know that's what the world teaches us, that we're entitled and we have the rights. No. By the grace of God, I have what I have. I've got to take what I've just been given and be grateful. Can I confess my own sin just for a minute? Maybe y'all understand what I'm saying is not in some position of authority and master, because I'm not. I'm just showing you a word the Lord has shown me. But it wasn't but a few days ago that I was frustrated this particular morning. I woke up. I did not get a good night's rest. I woke up. I felt like I wasn't effective. My morning felt like it wasn't getting anything done. You ever had a day like that? Like whatever, everything I had planned was not really happening like I had planned, and I was frustrated. And frustration is the enemy to manifestation. You can write that one down. Frustration is the enemy to manifestation. If the enemy wants to wreck your life and prevent you from getting anything done, all he's ever got to do is get you frustrated. Frustration is the enemy to manifestation. And this particular day, I think it was Monday, about a week ago, I was frustrated. Frustrated as I could be. My day was not going like I thought it would. Weather wasn't what I wanted. Sleep the night before wasn't what I wanted. And my ability to get some things I had planned to get done that morning was not the way I wanted. Nothing was going right. Woe is me. Pity me. And I'm driving down the road having this, in my mind, bad day. Not grateful. Just preached the service the day before. Come on, somebody. And I look, and on a Sportran bus stop was an older gentleman getting his older wife, both up in years, off the bus with a wheelchair and her leg in a cast. And it was a struggle, and it was raining. And I thought to myself, man, the love that man has for his wife. They probably just went or was headed to a doctor's appointment. I'm just imagining. I don't know. But I know she was in a cast, and he was trying to manage her and trying to manage a wheelchair in the rain getting off a bus. And I can only imagine what they went through just to get wherever they went. On a morning when it's rainy and you don't have a vehicle and you're riding a city bus and you got a wheelchair and your leg in a cast, and they were up in years. At that very moment, I felt so bad. I got so convicted that I repented to the Lord. In that moment, I said, Lord, forgive me that I am frustrated because everything hasn't gone my way. I am not on a bus. My leg is not broken. And I'm not limited to, you know, this condition that they're in. And they're up in years. And I am thinking, I'm having a bad day. Lord, forgive me. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. And I'm telling you, from that moment forward, my day changed. You might think you're having a bad day. You might think you have a reason to be down. But if you look around, there are some people that are really struggling and that are really having a hard time that would trade their life for yours any moment. We've got to learn to be grateful for what we've been given. Because even if it's a Monday and it's a rainy, cold day, if we can't be grateful that this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Nothing will be accomplished in that day. The moment you receive something, you become the manager of it. If you woke up on a Monday morning, you've just been given a Monday morning. Be grateful that you woke up this morning. It didn't have to be this way. And what I'm saying making sense? Gratitude is how I receive a thing.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.